Chris. I also see somebody that I really have not seen for a long time. Come on, Peter. You want to say hi to the church? Stand up, man. Let's see.
Thank you. This is very rare. I don't get to do this, but hello, church. Praise God. I thank God that I have the opportunity also to come and fellowship with you this morning. My wife was not able to be with me because she's gone to work, but I have my two boys, and I'm blessed to be here. Thank you so much. Nice to see all the familiar faces.
Thank you. We love you. Last week, we started on a topic that was very, very I'm really, really excited. It's a topic that many of you have questions, and sometimes we pray and we seek God regarding many, many things. We were talking about the will of God. How many of you were blessed last Sunday? And I briefly want to finish up what we started last week, and I just want to recap on a few things that that we shared last week. And knowing the will of God concerning our lives is an area that is sometimes not really controversial, but it's sometimes in a mix. You know, you don't really understand what the will of God is. I remember growing up, you know, back in the church and leading up people. Sometimes, you know, you would pray and seek to know what the will of God was concerning your life. And many times, you know, in this church, I really, really give my life history. Sometimes I feel you guys know me more than you're supposed to. And I feel good, you know, when I share my testimony, because it is beneficial, because I know everybody has a story to tell. Amen. And I remember this time, I think I told this story many, many times, and I hope you don't get bored. When I wanted to get married, the only thing I knew was to open up my eyes, my physical eyes, wider, so that I could see the prospective woman who would be my wife. And I work in this bank, you know, for many, many years. I would wake up in the morning, board up a public transportation vehicle, the matatu. Most of you know, this matatus. And the first thing that I would do is not even look for a seat where I would sit. The first thing that I did was to throw my eyes across the whole bus and see whether I would find my wife in that bus. What an awful way of looking for a wife. And guys, it went on and on and on and on. I would go into a meeting, and the first thing, you know, most of the times we would be singing, we would minister through worship, and I would, instead of, first of all, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I would really put my eyes across to see, can that be my prospective wife? Is that the one? And that, and I would put in my mind, I would say, no, that one doesn't really look like we, you know. In other words, it was an awful way of seeking to know what the will of God concerning my life was. And many times we've also fallen into that trap whereby you really want to know, is this the will of God? Is this the will of God? Is this job the will of God that I do this job? Is it the will of God that I go to school at this time? Is it the will of God that I get married? Is it the will of God that we have an additional child? Is it the will of God that I make up this investment? Is it the will of God? In other words, everybody wants to be in the will of God. Is there anybody who doesn't want to be in the will of God? Because you know there is comfort in the will of God. Amen? We know that when we are in the will of God, then we are in the right place. Nobody wants to be in their own will. You know, we as individuals, we have our own wills. But, you know, when you come to be in a relationship with God, you understand that God is everything. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. And so you desire to be in the hands of the all-knowing God, the omnipresent God, the omniscience God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, the one who holds the planets together. You want your life to fall in his hands. Amen? And I remember a man like Gideon. You know, I mean, this thing of wanting to know whether it is the will of God to go and fight or to go and do certain things didn't begin with us. Generations before us wanted to know what the will of God is. You remember the man of God, Gideon? He really wanted God to speak regarding certain issues that were really pertinent in his life. And, you know, as such, he prayed, but he could not hear anything. And when he didn't hear anything, you know, he did something that was crazy that most of us also do. You know, if this is the sister that I want to marry, let when she comes next Sunday, let her be in blue. And lo and behold, she won't come in blue, and so you cancel that.
You know, if this is the brother that I really want to marry, let me find him one day driving a Lexus. It will be years before you find him driving a Lexus. And so Gideon put what was it called? A fleece on the ground, and he said, Lord, if it is you, I want you to make sure that there is dew everywhere, but on the fleece, it will be dry. And God came and honored his petition. And then he went ahead and told God, God, if it's you now, do the opposite. You know, how many feel like, you know, you identify with Gideon many times? Praise the Lord. I see myself in Gideon in that area. Many times, God, I want to know that it is you. I want to know that you're involved in this thing that I'm doing. So that even when it collapses, you know, I told God and I know God. I sought the Lord concerning this that I'm doing. And so last week we were checking on what really is the will of God. And how can we know that we're in the will of God? Is it really this complicated? Following the will of God and knowing the will of God concerning our lives? Is it really, really complicated the way it has been complicated over generations? I don't think it is really complicated. Now, I want you to turn into your Bibles in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, the first two verses. And I would like one of us to read. Anybody who finds it the first, please, you can read it for us. The first two verses of the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Anybody found it? Oh, it's on the screen. Okay, good. Thank you, Sister Lorraine. And thank you, Pastor, for reminding me. This is what the Bible says. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual what? Can everybody say, this is your spiritual worship? God intends for us, I was telling the church last Sunday that, you know, I thank God for the worship team. They presented to us what worship is. Worship actually is when we come, worship is that moment when we are together corporately or individually. We come and express ourselves to God. God, you're so awesome and you're lost in his presence. Praise the Lord. You're just engrossed with how majestic he is and how great he is and how real he is. And when you begin to imagine of the things that he has done, when you begin to imagine that he picked you out from a manly clay and he forgave your sins and now he has given you access into the Holy of Holies, when you begin to imagine of his immense power, when you begin to imagine of how he holds the planets together, when you begin to imagine of how he holds the galaxies together, when you imagine of the knowledge that is without limit that he knows that we don't know, man, you just surrender yourself to God and you say, God, you're worthy. And I remember those words that are in the Bible that says, when anybody comes into the presence of God, let your words be few, you know, because you're in the presence of the Holy God. What can we tell God that he needs to know? God doesn't require any information about you. It is all, he finished you before he began you. He thought about you even before you were formed in the womb of your mother. And he came and caused your mother, brought your mother from whatever district and your father from whatever province, and he brought them together. He had you in mind. He already knew you. Are you listening to me? Who can give God counsel regarding our lives? So when you think about the immenseness and the greatness of our God, oh my God, you can fall prostrate before the Lord, and you just surrender and submit yourselves to God. Let me tell you, church, I wish we all know how powerful we could, when we connect with our God, we would come early in the morning when we would surrender all other businesses, the tiredness and the weariness of the week, and we would rise up in the morning early, because it is a blessing that the Lord releases when we corporately worship him in truth and in the spirit. Are you listening to me? Like when Sunday comes, you're dressing up, you're preparing your children, wake up early. Maybe you wake up beside your bed, kneel down, thank God for the day. And soon after you do that, you begin to prepare. We have to go to the house of God early. We have to get there early, kneel down and trust God for the day, because this is a day like no other. We don't meet here on Monday. We don't meet here on Tuesday. But on Sunday, we all come together to offer worship unto the Most Holy God. It is an important moment, a solemn moment, a moment that is like any other where we connect with your God. We are expressing ourselves unto him. And so when the Bible talks about, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. What Paul is talking to the Romans is this. He is telling them, your life is a spontaneous form of worship. Whether you're working, we don't have a demarcating line that distinguishes, you know, when you're supposed to express your worship or when you're not supposed to express your worship. When you're working, you're worshiping God. When you're serving other people, if you're a customer service representative, when you're picking up that phone and you're talking to the people, when you're giving care to people who are supposed to give care, you're worshiping God. And therefore, this is not exactly what the spiritual worship part of it is not what our brothers were speaking to us about. Are you listening to me? But our lives, whatever we do, whatever that we process in our mind, whatever comes out of our mouth is supposed to be a spiritual worship. The moment we give ourselves to God, hallelujah, and we enrolled ourselves into the family of God, it is a continuous spiritual experience. Whether you are in the grocery store, and you feel like somebody's really, the clock is really going slow, you remember? And you know, there's that woman, she is writing her check so slowly, you know, and you really have places to go, people to see, things to do, and the line is taking forever. And in your heart, you know what you say? I bind this woman. She doesn't know that I have places to go. And you speak some unprintable words. At that time, it is a time to ask God, God, begin to minister to me. Meditate on the word of God. It's a spiritual experience. Our life is a spiritual worship. Let's continue. What does the second verse say? Praise the Lord, Sister Lorraine. Do not be conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your. That is key. I would like you to underline that on your Bible. But ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God. In this verse, Paul speaks to the Romans, and I believe he is speaking to us how you can actually be in a perfect will of God. Now, we talked about being conformed to the patterns of this age. The moment Adam and Eve fell from the garden, you know, our great-great-grandparents, when they fell, and they, you know, through disobedience, sin and death came in through the whole world. That's when the conformity began to assume its course, you know, in the world. And so right now, I was talking to the people last Sunday, and I was telling them, you know, we are talking about gays and lesbians and the things, you know, like it's just something that is supposed to be part of this life, you know. The conformity of this world, or the structures of this planet Earth, have been from time immemorial anti-God. But you know what? The devil is like an angel of light, and he comes to camouflage himself like the angel of God. And if we are not very careful and discernful, we might fall into the patterns of this world thinking that we are serving God. And therefore, it's of paramount importance for a child of God to really know what the Bible talks about. Do not be ye conformed. Because while it says do not be ye conformed, there is a possibility, therefore, for a child of God to be conformed to the patterns of this world. Praise be to God. Paul admonishes them, do not be conformed. Be aware of the patterns of this earth. Have the knowledge of what goes on in Congress. Have the knowledge of what goes on in the Senate. Have a knowledge of what goes on in the country. Are you listening to me? And I was talking to you about the Boy Scout last time. The Boy Scout is an organization that has been founded under the principles of the Lord. I mean, most of the people who formed the Boy Scout organization, they believed in God. But you know what? So much pressure has been put on this organization because of their stand in God, whereby they would not even allow any gay brothers to join them. And when they rejected it, when they have rejected it for too long, because now this has been spoken, some states have openly passed, you know, laws whereby it is okay for a man and a man to marry. It is okay for a woman and a woman to marry. And it has been recognized almost by the law in some states. And so it has been a hawkish thing that started with a small idea, and now it's being talked to every city. I heard the other day, even Texas wants to, they want to pass a thing whereby the voters in Texas can pass a law, you know, through their voting rights to allow to legalize homosexuality. And so the Boy Scouts, because of their stand, people now started withholding their patronage, you know, the monies that they used to support with. And so they have cowed to the pressure. And so they have said, okay, it is okay now. I think we can allow some gays, you know, to come and join the Boy Scout. Church, we have to stand our ground. We have to hold fast the beliefs that we first believed when we knew the Lord. We have to really know, recognize the clear cut. You know, a line has been drawn on the wall. I mean, we have to draw a line on the ground. And you say, past this line, I'm not crossing over. Because I know the God that I serve. I know the God that I believe in. Are you listening to me? And I cannot allow myself or allow my beliefs to be contaminated to the conformity of the world, to the patterns of this world. Are you listening to me, church? And so the Bible says that God expects us, in order for us to completely understand how we can test and know what the will of God is concerning our lives, there is a process that takes place. And the Bible says that we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Somebody say, the renewing of our mind. That is where it all begins. If we do not want to become, if we are not going to be conformed to the patterns of this earth, then it has to be in our mind, the structure of our mind. And when I'm talking about the mind, I'm not talking about the physical mind that you know. It is the spiritual aspect of who you are, the part that has been generated unto the Lord. That is what I'm talking about. And what it says is this, that it begins at your mind. And what transforms your mind, as we saw last week? The Word of God. This Word is what renews us. Amen? This Word is what renews us. So we separate ourselves from the Word of God, then we miss the ingredient or the tool that actually does work in our minds to transform us. So there's no way we can disconnect ourselves from the Word, or there's no way we can assume or say that we are going to be renewed with the absence of this Word. So this Word has to be part of us, whether you're going to listen an audio, whether you're going to read it literally, or you're going to share it, or you're going to listen a man of God preaching it. You have to listen to the Word of God. It is the tool that renews us. Are you listening to me? This is the tool that will come and transform my mind. It is the one that comes to renew me. My mind will still come, even though I've been regenerated. Paul is writing to people who know God. And he's telling them, you have to not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Word begins to knock down structures that were anti-God in us. And we saw certain scriptures in the Bible that talks about, like in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, number 12, the Bible says that the Word of God is active and alive. This Word is not just a literature. This Word is not just a novel, a collection of 66 books written by men. But the Bible says that this Word has been inspired of God. Amen? For correction and for teaching and for instruction. The Word of God, for the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword. Not going to dwell in that. We really dwell on that last week. Penetrating as far as to divide the soul, the spirit, and the joints. Remember what we talked about, the joints and the marrow. It is the judge of the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. Are you seeing this? This explains to you, in other words, it defines what this tool is and the ability that it has to come and knock down structures in our hearts. In our minds, praise be to God. Elsewhere in the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says, it's not the Word like fire. It's not the Word of God like a hammer that shatters a rock into pieces. The word of God has a power to dismantle, to destroy all the structures of sin in us. Oh God, I wish you can see what I see. That when we give ourselves to the ministry of this word, Jesus, when we give to the ministry to ourselves to the ministry of this one, and not just be hearers but the doers of this one, and apply ourselves to what this word tells us, we will begin to see things through the eyes of Christ. We will see, we'll begin to have a view as Jesus has. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me? You know what? When anger comes, it will almost be input in your heart that, you know what? It is okay to anger, to be angry, but not sin. There are certain things that are, you know what? There are certain things when you read this word, you will know I'm not part of that. There are certain ways you'll have to address yourself. There's a certain way you'll have to carry yourself, because not only are you a regenerated saint, but you are now an ambassador. You are now the carrier of the gospel. You are now a very important person. Are you listening to me? Back in the days, you know, when you would go to a meeting, they would have seats that were written VIPs. I don't think, you know, there is any person who really can say that they are VIPs unless they are really born again. Because you know why I say that? You can be a dignitary, but if you don't know, have Jesus, and you can have all the money and you can have all the resources, you can have all the connections, but the actual peace that comes into your heart comes from God. If you don't have a God connection within you, you don't have the authentic peace that we are supposed to be talking about. The peace that surpasses the understanding of men. I'm talking about my sister Wanja, that when you don't have money, but you're laughing anyhow. You're praising God anyhow. You don't have anything to eat in your home, but you're praising God anyhow. It is crazy. The world cannot understand this. And no wonder the Bible says that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who know God, oh, glory to Jesus, it is power. The world will never understand what happens in Christendom. The world will never, it will be strange to tell the world unless it accepts the one who is the Savior of itself. The one who is the Savior of itself, unless it really completely embraces the Savior, it will be just foolishness to tell people about the gospel, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To tell them that I've been saved by grace, even though I'm a sinner, yes, but I've been saved by the grace. Glory be to Jesus. The unmerited favor. Are you listening to me? Yes, I love Jeremiah 23:29. It's not my word like fire. The Lord's declaration and like a sledge. Oh, I like that. What translation is that? I love that. Sledgehammer. You know what a sledgehammer is? Go look it up. A sledgehammer that pulverizes a rock. In other words, that completely annihilates the structure of a rock. That pulverizes a rock. That is exactly what the word of God will do. And it is important for us to understand what really is the word of God. This ingredient, this powerful rhema word, this logos that when you speak into your life, it becomes rhema. It begins to be applied into your life. That when you read it and apply it into your life, it begins to knock down structures, so that if there's somebody that you've hated for too long a time, when the word of God begins to travel through the crevices of your life, you begin to feel and tap and say, oh God, thank you, because you're working on me. I now can reconcile with my brother. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Let me tell you, when I married my sister, my wife Catherine, she's my sister. Why are you laughing? She's my sister. So why are you laughing? I know why you're laughing. Like, you know, the other day we had a couples meeting and we had an exercise, and somebody just came in and told me the other day, Pastor, I heard what you say, that you can kill somebody to be rich. May the Lord forgive you. Whoever said that, I love you so much. Anyway, I'm just kidding. So when I married my wife, when I got married to my wife, or when my wife married me, that's how you want me to say, she had these things, you know, bitterness that she had carried over from their childhood experiences. And she thought that her elder sister was highly favored by her daddy, more than she was. I mean, her daddy used to buy her things, and I think obliviously, maybe she would forget to buy things for my wife. And my wife
develop this resentment. Oh, you know, I don't measure up with my sister Joyce because, by the way, her sister happens to be Joyce like your sister. My appeal to my daddy doesn't measure up to my sister Joyce. And so she developed this resentment. And so when we were planning to get married, I wanted to know really what my wife had gone through. And it's very, very important, especially for aspiring couples. I don't see any young men here. I was telling, sharing with them. Get to know who your wife-to-be is. Get to know where she has been. Get to know what that man is, what he has been. Because the fact of the matter is, when you plan to get married and you're coming to consummate your marriage, whether you like it or not, you're carrying on the baggages that they had carried on in the past. Are you listening to me? And whether you like it or not, all those carriers and loads and loads of problems, it could be goodness and it could be bad, you are bringing it into your life. And so the thing is, before you get married, get to know what she went through so that you can disconnect them before you consume it, your marriage. Is that not true, Pastor? You know about it. And so I asked Catherine, and she was not really readily able to, what do you say? Pour her out. Thank you, Sister Charity. She was not really readily willing. I know you're enjoying this, but you're getting what I'm trying to say. She was not really readily to talk about her past. You know, and I wondered, what is all this going on? I need to know. I need to understand what she had been through. I knew she was a good girl, and I knew she hadn't done so many things, but this part of her life, because there's something I sensed that something was not right. And so she told me this one thing. And she also told me about other things that I'm not going to share with you today. It is not really appropriate. But I just want to tell you, because even you have never shared me with your stories. You always want me to share you my things. What are you guys? Come on now. And so listen. This is what we did. We prayed and fasted. And I told my wife, we cannot continue you not having a good relationship with your sister. Let me tell you, we prayed and trusted God. Eventually, my wife told me, I feel like I'm ready. And we we put ourselves together in a car and we traveled all the way to Nyeri. Because that's where she was living. Let me tell you guys, it was just, oh God, the sight of seeing these two sisters crying on each other. They cried almost for an hour. Cried. Because there was no communication before what was happening. And so I as a minister, you know, having been trained, you know what you do, I led them into a renunciation process. Renouncing the bitterness of each other. We canceled the plans of the devil concerning their lives and their families, you know? And I asked them to forgive each other. Let me tell you, it was a healing moment. A healing moment, man, as they embrace each other and as they forgive each other. Today, they are the best of friends. They call each other every time. They are wishing each other well. But that would never have happened unless the word of God really came into my wife and convinced her that it is not right. See, the world wants you to be to have a wedge with your sister. The world would like you to disagree with your brother. The world would like you to hate your parents. Because that was not what that world was telling us about that. Pastor Muruti, the other day, Facebook. He was telling us about Facebook. Facebook tells our children to hate our parents. I mean, the children to hate their parents. It is cool now for children to be rude to their parents. You know? But that is the spirit from the pit of hell. Oh my God, I wish we can recognize the power in the systems of the world. I wish you know how our children going. Man, I wish the men that didn't come to that meeting last night at my house. Oh God. The power that is being thrown into our children's brains in school. Children who have received emptiness, they pour out emptiness into our children. And when they come home, no wonder that child is really rude, because that is the cool thing. Because that's what they share. They say, oh, my mother don't tell me nothing. She won't even tell me nothing. Even my big boy, you know, my father, my big boy won't tell me nothing, man. What you do, man? When they tell you, you can call 911. Okay.
It is our responsibility as parents to be aware and cognizant of that fact, so that when your children come, have devotion with them. You have to every day remove that foolishness from them, because that is what they know. You know what? Especially these young children you see here. If we don't take time with our children, my God, sometimes we give ourselves to work, work, work. Stop working sometimes. We have to give our children time. Spend time with them. Are you listening to me? Because you know what? We have been so much engrossed in the provision of these children. We buy them good clothes. We take them places. We are telling them nice things. But we have failed to spend time with them because of work. Can you take time off, my God, for the sake of the Lord? Take time off. Spend time with your child. Read them the word of God. Remove the foolishness that is being poured into them in kindergarten. You know? The other day, Jeremy was told, if anything happens in your home, just dial 911. That's what they are told. And I don't know what happened with Jeremy. I think he wanted to implement whether this works so that next time, you know, mom, I'm in bad books with mom, I know how to dial. He dialed 911. And the officers really wanted to come because it was from a child. When there's a recorded call, it's from a child. Trust me, it doesn't matter whether you tell them, oh, we are okay. You're going to see the officers there. It was until my wife told them, you know, this is the first lesson that they were taught in school. And so I don't even know how he dialed it. But they said, no, we have to come anyways. Actually, I don't even know whether they came. I have to ask my wife whether they really came, because... are you listening to me? This is exactly what they are taught. Does not the Bible say that spare a child there you go. You're helping me preach. Yeah, spare the child and... spare the rod. I know. Exactly. I want you to get it. Spare the rod and save the child. It's not what the Bible says. But when you spike your child and they dial 911, guess where you're going to end up? You're going to spend your first night in a bed that you have never slept before. In prison. And your child might be taken away by child protective services. These are the systems of the world. And that's why you have to be, when your children come, they have to know what the word of God says concerning discipline. That it is right for you to tell them not to do certain stuff, and they will hear. You know what I had a man say? God, I'm taking all the time to speak about this, but I think it is important. Somebody say, told me that when my children get out of my house, they are going to the United States of America. But when they hit the threshold of my door, they have come into the Republic of Kenya. I thought that was very nice. You know, you understand, Pastor Patricia? When the children get out of your door, they are going into the United States of America. But when they come into my door, they are coming into your country, you know, where discipline is really adjudicated. That is how it's supposed to be. When my children come into my house, they need to know that I am the king in that house. Not those empty people pour things into their lives. They have to, let me tell you why. They have to know. I don't play. I tell my children, I never answered my father, you know, when they told me to say something. I did it and I never questioned. Who is anybody in my house who is not going to listen to me? You know what? Yes, sir. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. So you see what the Bible, I'm even lost where I was I now. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word of God has the power to renew you. Now, when your mind is renewed, as you are being renewed, you are being transformed. Those two processes go hand in hand together. So that if the word of God is targeting an area in your mind that really needs reconstruction, in that particular area that regards that thing, you're being transformed. Are you listening to me? And that's why, you know, somebody can come to you 2 years and, you know, this was your attitude regarding a certain issue. But because you allowed the word of God to really penetrate into your mind and it has knocked down, burned all the structures of conformity in the world. Now, when they come to you 2 years later, they wonder, is this different person or what? Just because you're being transformed, are you listening to me, Carol? Just because you have a different outlook of what that particular area in your life is, it is the work of the Word of God to knock down structures in our lives. And the Bible says that after you have been transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern. Somebody say discern. So that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. In other words, the Bible says, so that you'll be able to test certain things that come into your life. Certain things that pop up into your life. Because your mind has been transformed. And because you're being transformed, the Word of God is in you. And you have structures that are related to the kingdom of God. When a certain issue pops up, then you're able to present yourself, to present your transformation in that particular area. And then when you face that in, you're able to test it and know, oh, you know what, I cannot go this route. Simply because I know what the will of God is concerning my life. The will of God concerning me in this area. There are doors that you're going to shut, however pleasing they might be, just because you applied yourself, you transformed self into that area. There are doors that you are completely going to shut down, even though according to the eyes of the world they look good to you. Oh my God, are you listening to me? There are doors that you're going to open up, even though they don't seem like they're worthy to step into. Just because sometimes the Word of God, they don't make any sense. Sometimes there are things that God does in our lives, and they don't make any sense. Are you really listening to me? So it is of paramount importance that our minds, our whole being is transformed. All-rounded transformation that takes place in our mind. And in your mind is demarcated into various areas. There are issues that deal with relationships. There are issues that deal with finances. There are issues that deal with the Word of God. There are issues that deal with so many things. Myriads of things that happen and pop into our lives every single day. They are all demarcated within the mind. And we need to surrender our whole mind to the renewal process of the Word of God. Because when we are completely renewed, then we shall be transformed. Are you listening to me, church? Oh, God. I love this. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, I want to leave us at 1 o'clock. I'm just shutting down. And I think we shall continue next time. 2 Corinthians, become who you are. Become who you are. You are. What does the Bible says concerning you? You've heard about the Word of God, what it is capable of doing. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. We have to live like what the Bible says that we are. We are new creation. We are new creatures in Christ. We have been transformed. We have been redeemed. The blood of Jesus Christ has oozed from his body on the cross of Calvary for the remissions of sin. And so if we have accepted Jesus, we are a new creation. We are born again. Yeah, we don't come to him like that man who came to him, that teacher of the law who says, oh, do I have to go into the womb of my mother again and to be born again? No, this is a spiritual generation. A spiritual birth has taken place and you're a new creature. Okay, now listen to what the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Remove the old sin and into bucket of sin so that you may be a new batch of dough. Since you don't actually have the yeast of sin, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. I think we read this last week. You are a dough without leaven. And leaven is actually, every time you see leaven in the Bible, it is a symbolic of sin. So we no longer have any sin. We normally have acts of sins and we can ask God to forgive us, but we cannot be branded. If you're not Jesus Christ, you cannot have a brand name sinner. Oh, I know I lost most of you there. But the Bible says that we are the redeemed of the God. We have been made the righteousness of. Come on now, we've been made the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. So we cannot, even though we have sinful hearts, because you know, if anybody says that he is not without a sin, he's a liar. But when we come to our Father, when we come to him, he is able to forgive us of our sins. Praise be to God. Glory to God. So we are. We ought to remove the yeast. We need to know that the yeast of sin has been removed. And that's what we are. Now, Hebrews 5:14. I really want to go quick. Hebrews 5:14, this is what the Bible says. You can read it from there when Sister Lorraine puts it up there. Listen, this is what the Bible says. Hebrews 5:14. The Bible says, solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, if you take Hebrews 5:14 and Romans 12:1, 2, you can marry each other and you can see what it says there. In other words, it says, for you to be at a position. In other words, when we give and surrender ourselves to the ministry of the word, what that does when it is renewing us and we're being transformed, what we are tending towards is maturity. Praise be to God. You're being matured in the Lord. And so when you're matured in the Lord, you no longer will be wanting to put diapers on you. We no longer will be giving you baby food, but solid food, which is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained. Remember what the Bible says, that the word of God has been given for correction, for training, and for correcting us, for rebuking us, and for training us in righteousness. Second, is it 1 Timothy 3:16? Something like that is in the book of Timothy. And so this is what it says, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and, in other words, discernment. You're able to discern what is good and evil. You're able to discern what is the will of God. Praise be to God. So when the word of God has renewed you and you're transformed, you're tending towards maturity. And that's what you are. When you're giving yourself to the ministry of the word, are you listening to me, Steve? When you give yourself to the ministry of the word, you tend towards maturity. And that's what you are. Okay, two wills of God. I talked about this last time. There's the will of decree or sovereign will of God. And there is also the declared, or rather the revealed will of God. And man, I don't even have time, and I can't even do this justice if we just continue with this. But let me just finish with this. Now, the two wills, or rather the sovereign will of God, are things that have been set in the foundations of the earth. They will happen no matter what you say. You know, God has already set them, and they will happen anyways, right? Like the Bible says, you know, I preordained, you know, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, had been planned way, even before the creation of the world, that he would die for sinners like us. It was already set, and it was established, period. So Jesus would come into the world, and he would go through an agonizing time by the Romans to be taken to the cross of Calvary. But you know, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays and he says, God, if it is my will, this is too much for me. Never known sin, but now I've been made sin for the sake of the whole humanity. But he prayed a prayer and he said, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. In other words, Jesus would not have changed this will. It was already established, and he had to go through the process, praise God, without giving himself to his own will, because the Bible says that he had authority to call legions and come and help him avert this catastrophic thing that was just taking place in his life. But he said, Father, not my will. Not my will, but your will be done. Now, in the sovereign will of God is where now it gets very, very interesting. Because there are certain things that happen, and you wonder how they happen. You remember the case of Joseph when he is sold out to the Egyptians? What do you think about that story? When Joseph is sold, and this is a very heinous thing that all the brothers garner together, the youngest brother, and they decide, you know, you have favor with my dad. Just like, you know, you can have one of your siblings having favor with your parents. And they say, oh, every time Joseph is being mentioned by dad, you know, everything good, everything, you know, he talks about him so much, as we're going to sell him. But you know what? You know the end of the story. And when there was famine in Egypt, and there was no food in Israel and wherever, the brothers had to go to Egypt. And you know, you need to go read, actually, I think it's in the book of Genesis, chapter 36, about there. If you read the story, you realize that Joseph tells them, you know what? In other words, I'm paraphrasing and say, you know, you guys, you never even knew what you're doing when you're selling me. When you were selling me and giving me for a price to those people, the Midianites, you never knew what you're doing. But it was God's plan before the foundations of the earth, so that I'll be taken to Egypt and that the glory of God will shine through me and I'll have favor with Pharaoh, not only to preserve you through a desperate situation of hunger, but to preserve our posterity. Glory be to Jesus. Are you listening to me? There had to be a remnant. The remnant, the people had, the propagation had to continue. And so there's things that you read about God concerning our lives, concerning the lives of people. Job story. Job is in a catastrophic situation whereby he answers God. He is in a desolate. Wife comes and tells him, curse God and everything will be cool. You die and it's done. And Job begins to question God. God, why did you not do this to Sister Purity? Why only me? Why did you do this to me? And you know what God, how God replied to me? Yani, now Job, you want to tell me. You can even tell me how I hang the planets together and how I consist them. Are you going to be my instructor concerning what I regard to do? Eh? Are you not clay? That's what the Bible says, that what can a clay tell to the potter? Or you mold me in this way? So in other words, when we talk about the sovereign will of God, there are certain things that are very, very difficult even for us to understand. But regardless, it doesn't change the fact that that's the sovereign will of God. Things that he has said that will happen. And listen to this, Mark 14:24. I begin by Matthew 26, and this will be my conclusion for real. Matthew 26:39. My Father, if it is possible, I told you about that. Mark 14:24. Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them, you will all fall away. Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. It was already preordained. And you know, that's where Peter said, oh God, you know what, I'm not gonna, there's no way I can leave you. And Jesus tells him, you know, within the third crow, you'll have denied me three times. Remember that story? Acts 4:27-28. Truly, in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servants, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. All these arrangements about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ were preordained. You know, people like Herod and Pontius Pilate were put there in place. People like Judas, who betrays Jesus. And at one time he said, it were better for you not to have been born. But anyways, he was born so that you would betray the Savior. Sovereign will of God. So there are certain things that happen, take place in our lives, and you wonder, oh God, you're forsaken. No. Everything God, the Bible says, everything works together for good for them who love. You may not see the good when you're going through a catastrophe like Job. But at the end of resort, what happened to Job? He received double blessings. For every loss that he had, he received double. So sometimes we go through anguish and we fail to understand, why did you bring me in this situation? Why did you order these people into my life? Why did you bring me into this place where all I see all around me is suffering and difficult situations? God has a wonderful plan concerning your life. Are you listening to me? And with that, my brothers, I just have to stop there because I want to get into the rhythm of finishing the service at once so that we can go home and do what we are supposed to do. We'll continue from there next time. But let's give ourselves to the ministry of the word. Let me tell you, I'll tell you this thing. This year, I told God, and this has been my prayer consistently every day, God, I want to honor you. I want to honor you with my time. I want to honor you with my finances. I want to honor you with everything that you've put in my heart. I want to honor you with my relationship with my wife, with my children, and with the rest of the body of Christ. That is my prayer. I want to give myself to the ministry of the word because I realize how crucial, how important it is for us to surrender ourselves to the ministry of this word. And if we can do that, all of us, decide to honor God in every area. Oh my God, we had a Bible study in my house and we were talking about Daniel. Oh, I can't even talk about this. In Daniel chapter 6, go read it at home. Daniel, the Bible says that he would pray three times a day, you know. And the Bible says that he was responsible always. My God, that really put me in a bad, the Bible says he was responsible. He was responsible always. In other words, whatever they did, he did, it was honorable. And his fellow administrators wanted to come against him, to accuse him and to criticize him. But even as they looked for criticisms to criticize Daniel, they found nothing. And eventually these guys plotted a plan to take Daniel, to throw him into the den of, you know, to kill him. And so they made the king of the day, who was a king who didn't know God, to sign a decree that anybody who doesn't worship him
or recognize him as a king, or who pray to another god that they will be killed. And this king just loved Daniel because of his responsibility, because of the way he carried himself. And I said, God, how many people today would say that I'm responsible? How many people would say that I love God? You know, how many people would have a testimony that I love God with the whole of my heart? The moment that happens to you, know that you attract some adversaries. And so they made the king sign a declaration that anybody who worships any other god apart from the god of the country where they were, he would be killed. And with, you know, through some tricks, he was made to sign this even without knowing that they were doing it for the sake of Daniel. Eventually, they went and found Daniel praying to his God. It was a time where he opened up the window towards Jerusalem and he was praying to God, connecting with him with his Savior. And they went and reported that they found Daniel praying, and they decided to go throw Daniel into the pit of lions. Let me tell you, Daniel, God shut the mouths of the lions. You know that story. Just because of how responsible he was, just because of how connected he was with his Savior. Do you yearn to be connected with your God so that he can fight your battles? Can we all decide just to completely give ourselves to the ministry of the Lord and serve him and serve him only? And he will fight our battles for us. When the king realized what they had done, he said, may the God of Daniel save him through the mouths of lions. He didn't even know God. And surely the next morning when he goes and opens up the pit, he said, I am here, master. And he said, those guys who made sign these declarations, I want them rounded up with their families and children. The Bible says that they didn't even hit the ground. The lions were really hungry for these enemies. They were completely destroyed by the lions. This is exactly what God can do when we are faithful, when we are honorable, when you serve God with the whole of our hearts. Can we dare do that, guys? Even when the pastor is not around, even when nobody, no brother who knows you at that corner, can you honor God, really? Can you know that his eyes range throughout the face of the earth, and that the Bible says in Hebrews 4:13 that everything lays bare before him? Can we honor God? Stand on your feet as we conclude this service. Join your hands with the person standing next to you as we pray this prayer right now. In Jesus' name. Our Father, who art in heaven, it's just an honorable thing, Lord, to have known you, to have revealed the mysteries of the kingdom, to have revealed the immense of your love. Lord, I just want to pray to you, my Father, that God, we shall be authentic servants, that when you look up from heavens, that God, you shall find men and women that are ready to stand in the gap. Men that can be responsible always. Men that are going to be submitted and surrendered to the ministry of the word, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, God, even as your spirit does so. May he flood out things that we need to work on. Weaknesses and things that we do that are anti the work of the ministry and the ministry of the Lord. That we shall completely be surrendered to his ministry. Father, we choose for you to build this house. We choose for you to watch over us. For when we do it, Lord, we are so limited. But when you do it, Lord, we know that we are going to be successful. I pray for this, your children, Lord, for whatever they're going to do, whatever they're going to say, whatever they're going to do for the sake of the kingdom of God, that it shall be recorded for them as having served you, Lord. And that you shall use each and every one of them. None of them is less important than the other. But they shall feel themselves confident enough to handle whatever call that you place in their hearts. And I pray, Daddy, that you shall surround them by your favor. That you shall surround them by your presence. That you shall surround them by the blood of Jesus. That they will begin to see things in a clear, in clarity of mind. And Father God, yearn and to do those things that you placed into their hearts. We ask for your forgiveness where we promised to do things and we never did. And Father, the patriarchs of faith, of our faith, we are able to learn from them how they were able to commit themselves to you and completely yield themselves to you and what you did for them. We completely surrender before your presence.
We completely surrender ourselves before you, God. Holy God of Israel, we are your children. And lead and guide us into all matters of righteousness. Glorify yourself in our lives. Be the first of all in our lives, O God, to the glory and honor of your name. And we pray this, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. You might be here, never given your life to Jesus, and I want to give you this opportunity. The Bible says that he knocks at the doors of your heart. If you'd only open up your heart, he would save you. You've never given your life to Jesus. I don't know whether there's anybody here who'd like to give their lives to Jesus. This is your opportunity. Lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I pray that even as the saints go out in the marketplaces, that you shall accompany favor with them, that your glory, Father, shall shine greatly in their lives in the name of Jesus. Protect them from their destructors. Protect them. Every tongue that rises against them, Lord, I condemn in the name of Jesus. People that cause them, Lord, even to stagnate in their endeavors, I rebuke those activities in the name of Jesus. And I speak a breakthrough into every family, a breakthrough into every woman, a breakthrough into every man, a breakthrough into our children in the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be a panoramic view that will cause us to see the greatness of where you want us to go. God, help us to see the beauty of the place where we are going. For when we see it, we shall desire to get to that place. And surely it shall come to pass because your spirit is leading us into courts of righteousness, O Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Bless and minister to your people this week to the glory and honor of your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and appreciate the Lord for his word. Amen, amen, amen.
Let us appreciate our pastor for delivering the word. Thank you, Pastor, for